Hello and welcome to your bite-sized weekly podcast here on Four Lads Had a Dream. My name's Andrew and I'm joined tonight by two of my very favourite podders. First of all, Shona, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad here at all. And secondly, Andy, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. A pleasure as always to be on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you both here. This week's podcast is sponsored by our new and personally my own very favourite sponsor, Pi Sports. So we'll talk a little bit about what makes this podcast specifically, excited to be sponsored by Pi Sports. But nice to see kind of recognition that we continue to grow, continue to attract sponsors. All very exciting. But before we get into pies, let's talk about Benfica instead. Shona, obviously we chatted about this the prior week, and you know, we were kind of excited to be going into this game 1-1. Game's kind of on the knife edge, and hell, we're playing at Ibrox, so you know, all very exciting. But I think unfortunately it didn't quite pan out that way.
No, it didn't. Unfortunately, obviously we lost and we're not through to the last 16. But look, I think overall, I think if we were honest with ourselves, I think it was probably one of those games where you obviously, as a Rangers fan, you want to win every single game. But in hindsight, in the bigger picture, it probably was probably our kind of our last time in the Europa League. I think Benfica are a Champions League side. They've paid over £100 million in the summer in transfer fees. So look, they are a level above us. And I think it was kind of our final straw. But look, I think you've got to be proud of the boys getting to this stage in the first place. I think if you said to yourselves, obviously after the Limassol game, when we had the 1-1 and then we lost to them, and then obviously we won against Sparta Prague, and I think the other one was obviously Real Betis, that big surprise, wasn't it? We never thought that we'd obviously get through and top the group. So I think overall, I think you've got to be very proud of these players, even though it didn't go our way on last Thursday. So, but look, I think overall, you've just got to be proud of the players.
No, I think that's absolutely fair. I mean, Andy, in terms of the game, not a lot to talk about, so we're not going to go point by point. But Rangers, I think, played well, but it was quite a cagey affair, and in the end it's a single goal that decides it in Benfica's favour. But what was your take on the match, mate?
Yeah, I mean, first half I think we actually did quite well. As you say, a bit cagey from both sides. They were happy to kind of slow things down, take a bit of time. Don't think either side really created all that much, but you know, at half time you're going in thinking that was all right, you know, 45 minutes to basically go through to the next round. And obviously, as it turned out, we just ran out of steam in the end, just didn't have the legs, and they had that wee bit of quality just at the time they needed it to get the winning goal. But no, I mean, I don't think we could ask any more. I think it was just a case of, I don't even think it was a quality they beat us. It was just the fact that we just ran out of steam just in that second half at Ibrox. That was the deciding factor more than anything else. I mean, you saw it even when we were a goal down. We couldn't even muster the energy to really push and, you know, throw anything at them. We just, you know, couldn't really get going, couldn't find that extra 10% we might have found earlier in the season. But no, you saw the ovation the team got at the end. You know, the fans recognised the efforts and the fact that we're playing against a decent team. So disappointed to go out, but you know, if you're going out to Benfica, it's not exactly a disgrace, is it?
You know, the fact that it's decided by Di Maria, who, you know, for all we've had our reasons to be upset with him, is still, you know, obviously a highly successful footballer. I don't think it's any particular shame in what's happened there. So it is what it is. It's like we've had a good run in Europe. The fact that we are consistently getting to this position in Europa League football, at least, is it's outstanding. If we compare to basically my entire experience of following Rangers, you know, pre admin. This is pretty unprecedented, with one particularly notable exception aside. So, you know, I think it's fantastic that we continue to demonstrate that we can compete at least on the Europa stage. So, it's good to see. Probably useful just to reflect on our Europa campaign overall. Shona, you touched on it, obviously. I think, you know, from the kind of roller coaster that we had with our group stage, and even the fact that we had to compete to get into that as well, I think on balance, I mean, it's probably not good for the old heart rate, but I would have certainly taken that before a ball was kicked this season. You know, getting into the last 16 again, especially after, you know, our performance previously, I think that's still very respectable. And if you look, as you said, at some of the teams we would be competing against if we had gone through, even just if we got a different draw from Benfica, there's no real easy ties left in there. So it was always going to be tough. As you say, I think we can be proud of what Rangers achieved there.
Yeah, I think overall, I think looking at it from when Clermont came in, I don't think all of us actually thought they were probably going to get through the rest of these ties, the way the fixtures were going and where the results were going. So no, I think, look, I think we Benfica the game. We did concede really, really poor goals over the two ties. That was the biggest problem for me. It was the one from the obviously the corner, the own goal, and then obviously we were really unfortunate with the penalty, weren't we? So the decisions didn't really just go for us towards the end, did it? But like I said, I think we all want to win this league now. So I think a case of this was probably the kind of final hurdle for us, and I'm kind of a blessing in disguise in a wee bit. Look, I think we all wanted to go through to the next round, but I think it's probably been a bit of a blessing in disguise. I think you summed it up well with the fact that the players were a wee bit leggy. I think we can try and avoid midweek games, but unfortunately that will not be the case when we come on to the next subject. So I'm pretty Indeed. Sure we've got loads to talk about with that one, so I'll leave you to that.
Sharon, as you say, I mean, we were certainly looking plenty leggy even before the Benfica tie. And then, Andy, you know, obviously we're all excited about the Dundee game. You know, we know that they have played first. We know that we have an opportunity to go back to the top of the league again. It's not until the morning, really, that we start hearing any kind of scuttlebutt that potentially this game might not be going ahead. There's a pitch check around 9 o'clock. That's when the rumours start. Then we start getting pictures through from some of the Sky commentators. And I don't know about you, but when I first saw a shot of this pitch, this does not look like it's going to be a case of, oh no, we'll get it working by 3 o'clock. Don't worry, lads.
No, I think it was a video in Sky that you saw when the referees, you know, bouncing the ball or trying to bounce the ball, and it's just absolutely dying when it hits the ground. And as you say, from the pictures, you can see there's two or three different areas that look really, really bad. And yeah, at that point, you're thinking this might not happen, which, I mean, there's arguments both ways. Do you really want to be playing on a terrible pitch, you know, with a threadbare squad and all that sort of stuff? Maybe not. But at the same time, do you want to be going into the international break, you know, behind in the league? So I think the players were there. I think they'd have rather played, got the game on, get the points in the bag and put their feet up. But yeah, I mean, just a farce. And then for Dundee and John Nelms to come out and say that, you know, that they got the pitch ready in about an hour's time, just, you know, utter nonsense. You know, I mean, you know, we get bad weather here. If it's torrential rain or something in the build-up to the game, there's only so fast a pitch will drain. I think this is the fourth game this season, certainly three in the last couple of months. And for God's sake, guys, sort it out.
Well, I mean, you know, at least we did better than the Aberdeen fixture, which got called off with less than an hour to go. So, in fact, that's, you know, really timely as far as they're concerned. Obviously, you know, first of all, can't play on the pitch, I think, as it was. I don't think it was ever going to be safe to play. Definitely not by noon, certainly not by 3 o'clock either, as the chairman of Dundee claimed. It's a nonsense that the pitch has been allowed to get into that state. And as you say, Andy, it's you know, it's not the first time that it's happened. Shona, I think the big concern was obviously just the lack of communication. We'd been told by the manager, and then in a statement that Rangers issued as well, that you know, Rangers were not aware of this being a potential issue until 6:15, you know, 6 in the morning, when the kitman got there to start laying out all of Rangers' gear. The fact that Dundee didn't feel the urge to communicate that in any way to Rangers prior to the day of the match is a dereliction of duty, quite frankly.
Well, if they can't even send over an email, and then never mind getting their pitch in order, to be honest with you, but it's an absolute farce. It's a joke. It looks like it's like absolute negligence coming from their side of things. I'm really, really annoyed about this. It just becomes embarrassing for our Scottish League when we're on Sky Sports and you've got kids and amateur football that are on playing that weekend, and a Scottish top flight club cannot. I just think it's an absolute disgrace. I think it's embarrassing. I think John Nelms and Dundee are not fit for purpose. This is the third or fourth time it's happened to their club this season. This is not an issue because of water. This is an issue because of their pitch. And it's a disgrace that they're a top flight club and they can't even get their pitch in order.
Frankly, I think we should have just gone down the road. I mean, there's another pitch, like, what, 10 minutes? Not even that, down the way. So could have just played it there instead. I think that'd be fine. But, you know, I think, as you said, Shona, it just speaks of a lack of professionalism from Dundee. I think the main problem is that pitch was probably already in that state prior to the rain overnight on Saturday. It's not a case of, oh, there's been a torrential downpour the Saturday night and that's what's knackered the pitch. It's the fact that the pitch was probably already knackered prior to that because there was heavy rain, apparently, on Thursday. And that's what did the majority of, you know, the issues on the pitch. The fact that they have then left it until the morning and then realised, oh, crap, we need to try and get this into playing order and then not been able to. I mean, Andy, the fan considerations obviously set to one side because, you know, Sky and the club in Dundee certainly didn't think that was a priority. You know, this is an incredibly poor reflection just on the league as a whole. We've got this game that's meant to be on Sky. It's obviously the most important match of the kind of fixture week, and then at the, you know, what, the 11th hour, it's called off and cancelled on the day. I mean, if I'm a Sky executive, you know, it's got to be the kind of thing that's just utterly frustrating.
Yeah, and I think Shona said earlier, you know, it was the only game in the top four leagues that was called off. The manager referenced it as well. So for, you know, a Premier League club not to be able to get their pitch ready again, you know, for a televised game of football, it's embarrassing for them and it's embarrassing for the game. And I see there's now going to be an investigation into the, you know, what caused it and everything else. And mm-hmm. If I was to put money on it, I would bet that's because Sky weren't too happy with, you know, the game being pulled and all of that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's a terrible advert when you see pictures like that. I mean, surely the league has to do something, especially if it's, you know, second, third, fourth offence for a club. There really should be some sort of fines or some deterrent to stop clubs basically just leaving their pitches to rot and just going, oh, well, you know, sorry, we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. I don't know what the answer is. That's maybe a bigger picture and a different discussion. But yeah, a really bad look for the game, for that to be a top game, a televised game, and that's the state of the pitch.
Well, you know, it's not like Spam Folder FC have got, you know, previous in terms of a lack of professionalism in football in general. look, I think some of this does come down to, we know that Dundee are looking to move stadiums. They don't want to spend any money on their existing stadium. However, they've got their own financial concerns. The SPFL, and again, I am saying this knowing full well that the SPFL are not actually a competent organisation, but just bear with me, guys. Like, imagine if they were a competent organisation. You would think they would have their own motivations and their own kind of levers to pull to ensure that games got played if it is feasible to do so. The fact that this game didn't go ahead from what looks like negligence on the part of the club, that's shocking. I don't really have high hopes for the investigation being carried about by the SPFL. Frankly, I think they're probably more concerned with strict liability or whatever else Hibs are complaining about this week. But still, I mean, ultimately, it's just a frustration with the league that we are in. But that being said, the league that we are in, we have 9 games left now. The rest of the league has 8. And we have these games left to try and win this league and potentially also, you know, pick up the Scottish Cup along the way. Shona, we're going to talk about what makes this podcast a Pi Sports podcast, at least this week. And that is because what we are doing is announcing the Four Lads Pi of the Month competition. If you've listened to a previous podcast that I've hosted before and it sounds familiar, don't worry. It's totally different and, you know, unique to Four Lads because it's got the word Four Lads in front of it. And so therefore it's, you know, brand new and completely original. What we want to do is give you guys free pies. Pi Sports are being very generous. They are giving us an offer code, which is in the link of the podcast description below. And what we want you to do is nominate your Pie of the Month. So your biggest idiot in Scottish football over the course of the past month. Competition's going to run for a full month. So in 4 weeks' time, when we record again, we should have a winner. What we'd like folk to do is email in to 4ladshadadream@gmail.com. what we want you guys to do is to nominate your Pie of the Month. Let us know who you think the biggest idiot in Scottish football has been. If you do want to nominate John Nelms, I think that's perfectly valid. But, you know, we're going to have to decide one way or the other. So we will discuss that in a month's time. But Shona, if you were being asked, who's your Pie of the Month?
Mine's quite a short story. Michael Stewart.
Yep, that's fair, valid and reasonable. Andy, how about you, mate?
Shona's just stolen mine because it's always Michael Stewart. But if it's not him, I'll go for Chris Sutton. I don't know why, but I just assume it has to be him if it's not Michael Stewart. So I'll leave John Nelms for other people. But yeah, I'll go for Chris Sutton just because.
Yeah, there's almost certainly something that he has either done or will do that will make him viable for this competition. But listen, we want you guys to let us know who your nominations are, so please get those in. Email is in the description below, and you can also comment below any of the podcasts as well to enter that way. Either way, we would love to hear from you about who you think the biggest idiot of the month is. And if you do that, you can win some free pies. You get a slab of pies from Pie Sports free of charge. Use offer code 4LADS for 12.5% off. So nothing much more to say, but thank you to both Shona.
Thank you, everyone.
Wonderful. And Andy, thanks to you as well, mate.
Thanks very much, mate. Pleasure as always.
Lovely stuff. Folks, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Unfortunately, we don't have too much in the way of games to talk about either today or indeed over the next couple of weeks. But please keep an ear out. There will be plenty of content coming out over the next few weeks. We're working on a couple of little special ones that we will be sharing with you. So stay tuned, stay subscribed, make sure you follow, like and and share as well, because it helps the podcast grow. We'd also particularly like you to pay attention to our YouTube channel, which is just 90 subs away from hitting a nice round 2,000 subscribers. This is pretty much only to satisfy my own need. I love it when numbers go up. I especially love round numbers. So if you guys can make that happen, that would make me immensely proud. I want to thank you guys all again for listening. I want to thank my two lovely co-hosts. And yes, until we talk to you again, bye for now. Four Lads Bite-Sized Podcast is proud to be sponsored by Rhino Express and Clyde View Joinery, certified fire door installer and maintainer. Also in association with Rangers Pools, Zenith Coins and Alexander Campbell Interiors. Please share and follow the pod to help us grow. We hope you enjoyed the show.